don't have to worry about what is worse or what is best. Do it.
Welcome back. It is March 28th, season two, episode number 39 of the Let Me Be Frank podcast. Brian and Pete here with you today. We'll just jump right in it. I mean, Final Four, Loyola Chicago, the Cinderella team, Michigan, a team who's been there before. Villanova obviously has been there as they've been one of the best teams in college basketball over the past six, seven, 8 years. And then Kansas, another blue blood that has pretty well dominated, kind of quietly so, won the Big 12 and just snuck into the tournament. People talking about them and Xavier is the worst one seeds, and here they are. So bit different from the right half and the left half of the bracket. If you look on the right, it is chalk with the 2-1 seeds. If you look at the left, it is far from it with an 11 and a 3. I don't know where to start, so I'll let you start with your thoughts on the tournament so far and the games we watched, being the more casual of the college basketball fans.
Yeah, I mean, this started, like, looking at Kansas, I don't know why. I had, like, everyone overlooked Kansas this year, who's a Devontae Graham. It's mm-hmm. still on the team. They still look fantastic. I was disappointed I didn't get to hate Grayson Allen for another game in his college career.
I don't know how that shot didn't fall. It hit every part of the rim, every part of the backboard, and that was probably the best game of the tournament so far, the overtime win by Kansas against Duke. But it looked like it was halfway home, popped back out, and then it looked like it was going in again, and then it popped out again, and we went to overtime. It was a crazy last shot.
And you know what? For those shots, I don't know why. I don't know. Maybe if I didn't just see, I just didn't see it. But I feel like Grayson should have gotten more shit that he basically said, "I'm the guy. I'm going to take these shots, and there's no way I'm passing this ball up," because he took
13 shots, I think.
Like at the end of regulation, that those contested threes, that was not the best shot he could have gotten. And it seemed like he was just like, "I'm putting my head down. This could be my last game. I'm taking the shot."
I don't have a problem with Grayson Allen doing it. I have a problem with Gary Trent and Trayvon Duval combining for over 30 shots in the game. Those two guys, Duval shot like 12% from three this year. He should not be shooting the ball that many times. Granted, he had a good game, but still. And then Trent was something like 3 of at least 10, maybe 12 from beyond the arc. It's not your night. It's not your night. Obviously, Grayson Allen also didn't shoot well, but letting Marvin Bagley only shoot the ball 9 times is beyond me.
Yeah, he's clearly the most talented player. I don't know why they didn't get him more involved in the offense. But yeah, I'm not sad to see Duke lose. Seeing Coach K's reaction at the end of the game was kind of sweet. Just, I don't know, see a very successful person just be a little upset about a loss. And then Michigan. I love Michigan as like just as a fan casually, but
and I hate them.
How are they like as a casual fan? I have not watched them. How are they like? Have they made it this far?
That was easily their worst game of the tournament. They shot like 90% in the first half against Texas A&M. They were up by 30 at some points in the first half. That was by and far their worst game.
Is Beilein that good then? Like,
he's a good coach. That's true. Like, they play better defense than people give them credit for, but it's also when they get going offensively, they're incredibly tough to stop because 1 through 5, they all shoot the three really well.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed about Michigan is that they're one of the only teams that I have seen that really commits to the NBA offense, just like of relying heavily on threes for their offense.
It's not like positionless basketball either. Like, you clearly have a 1 through 5 position. There may be some ambiguity around the 1 and the 2 and then the 4 and the 5. But at the same time, you still know who the big men are and you still know who the guards are. Like, there's a clear distinction in Beilein's offense. Unlike a team like Nevada, where they have 5 guys that are 6-7 starting.
Yeah, and Mo Wagner, is that how it's pronounced?
Yep.
Just a fantastic name.
Cannot stand the guy. He's more, I said it, I tweeted it. I think he's more hateable than Grayson Allen.
Really? Why is that?
He, the way he plays, he's 7 feet tall and he plays like he's Grayson Allen's size. And then the flopping, the bitching, the shit talk, like he got dunked over the other day by Tyler Davis and then was talking shit on the other end because his team was winning. Like, you just got put on a poster for the rest of time, sir. Don't come out here speaking German, whatnot, with the mouth guard in. You probably can't understand a goddamn word he's saying. He just irks me more than Grayson Allen does. Like, yeah, you kind of expect it from Grayson Allen at this point. Mo Wagner is just like the fake tough guy.
Yeah, I feel like he does get a pass because he's foreign.
Yeah, that is a big reason.
It's easier to hate an American-born white kid.
Yeah,
in college basketball than it is a foreign-born.
It's very progressive of American fans too. Very progressive. Not enough credit is given.
And then for Loyola's game, how do they, like, makes me happy that Bruce Weber got blown out of the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still shocked at how good Loyola's playing.
Yeah, I mean, it's an opportunistic style that they play. They pass the ball really well. It also helps that in the last two games, they've started over a combined 20 minutes. So the first 10 minutes of each half, they've shot 98% from the field. That typically helps you win games. But that's neither here nor there. I mean, you're getting good looks. Against Nevada, they were just taking layups. It was mind-blowing how easily they could get to the rim, and Loyola should be renamed Layup U at this point because they make it look so fundamental with how well they pass. And then I don't know what it is defensively, but teams just can't figure it out.
Reverse Layup U, please.
Yes, reverse Layup U.
And then I really look forward to the complete reversal of people liking Sister Jean to complete hatred in the Final Four. Because you know this coverage is going to bring up another notch of how many cutaways we get to Sister Jean.
Well, especially if they win on Saturday. That'd be nuts. I've made my stance very clear over the past 2 weeks. Even before the tournament started, like once Sister Jean appeared, I was out on her. Nothing against the woman herself, what she stands for, all that stuff. It's just, I hate when they make a big deal out of someone in the crowd. Like, it's the guys on the court that deserve the credit, so let's give them the credit.
Cool throne, Christianity.
Yes, very much the cool throne. Catholicism, Jesuit Catholicism right there. Cool throne. Who do you got in the Loyola Michigan game?
I don't want to pick against Loyola, but I'm going to stick with Michigan. I mean,
son of a bitch.
I know. I mean, what do you expect from me? But there's two teams that are
exactly that.
Two teams that are incredibly hot coming into this, obviously, because they're in the Final Four. But I think the town of Michigan and the coaching is just going to overcome.
That's the excuse I've been using for the past couple games. Granted, it was Kansas State, Nevada, Tennessee. But I don't know how. I can't pick against Loyola at this point. They just pass way too well. It's an actual clinic when you watch them play, how well they can distribute the ball 1 through 5. As it seems like every game, someone different's making big plays, and they're still holding teams to under 64 points a game defensively, which is crazy. So I'm going Loyola. Villanova, Kansas. We didn't really talk about Villanova much just because I feel like I've talked about them all season long at great lengths, both here and at the B Fox and B Frank show, which you should also check out on iTunes. I've said Villanova is the best team in the country since the beginning of the year. My rankings at certain points may not have showed that because it is a relativism thing, the rankings, but I still picked Nova to win it. I picked Nova to win the championship at the beginning of the year, picked them to win at the beginning of the conference season. Pick them to win once the brackets were released. There's no reason to go against it now. So I've already got Villanova beating Kansas.
Yeah, and it makes me angry when I see Jalen Brunson playing as well as he has been because he should be an Illini, but I don't blame him for picking against us.
Right.
But at the same time, still bitter.
I'll have a stat for you that'll really put things into perspective about Villanova's reign. But yeah, it's one of those things where we could have, or Villanova is just playing so well. They played their worst game of the tournament and still scored 71 points and beat Texas Tech, excuse me, one of the best defensive teams in the country by 12. Must be nice.
Yeah, must be nice having some talent.
We'll move on to baseball. Baseball is back. If you're listening to this, it's Wednesday, tomorrow, Thursday. All 30 teams in action. No more of this nonsense foreign game that starts the season. What are your thoughts on opening day finally being, or going back to, I should say, all 30 teams playing?
I love it. I don't know. I think this idea has been brought up before for sure, but it should be.
It has to have.
It should be a national holiday.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, every game should be a day game. Just yeah, turn back this, the clock to the 1920s baseball.
Yeah, this and the day after the Super Bowl should be holidays. I don't understand why. Why are we doing President's Day? Just move it to the day after the Super Bowl.
Or Columbus Day. Fuck Columbus.
True. True. Genocidal maniac. But the whole league is playing. Tons of action. There are a lot of day games, too, on Thursday. I think 10 or 9 of the 15 total games are starting before 3 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I will be attending one of them, the White Sox home opener, to watch.
Big game, Jim.
I think Jim will be a large Jesus. Contest. Jim will be pitching for the White Sox.
He is on the bump. Who are they playing?
They are against the, is it the Roy? No.
This is good prep work on our part.
Let me see here. I'm going to take a stab at it and say it might be the Twins.
You are incorrect.
It is the who?
Royals. You were right the first time.
Damn it. All right. Well, sick. My first guess is correct. Go with your gut. There you
go. Go with your gut. That's.
Oh no, I'm sorry, but I meant I'll be at the home opener, which is against.
Yes, that makes sense. The opening day is in Kansas City. They'll be opening up later. There you go.
Yeah, the first game that matters at the Guaranteed Rate Field is April 5th.
The old G spot. What is your projection for the White Sox for this season?
Oh God.
What would you be happy with as a fan?
What would I be happy with?
Yeah.
80 wins.
Wow. That'd be a pretty good year.
It would be a good year, but I don't expect it. I'm going to say right. 72.
Okay. And how many injuries? You guys have probably set the record for spring training injuries at this point.
As long as Moncada, Luis Robert, and Eloy don't get injured, or Kopech, I'm fine with whoever else. Or Pat Bovard would crucify me if I didn't mention to not wish injury on Avisail Garcia.
Avisail. MVP.
Yeah, hopefully.
For the Cubs, on the other side of things, obviously you're hoping for some solid work out of the rotation that they've spent a fuck ton of money on. They can go 5 starters strong for most of the year. They should be in good shape. I don't think they should win the NL Central fairly easily. The big thing is getting to the playoffs and keeping the hitters hot and healthy. Kyle Schwarber and Ian Happ, I think, are the two keys to the Cubs lineup this season. The top of the order was bad, for lack of a better term, last season. No one really did it besides Rizzo for his, 9-game stint that he was there when he hit like 6 straight home runs to lead off games. It's going to be Happ's job to start the season. And since losing Dexter Fowler, it's been a huge gap that they've been missing. And then if Schwarber can get back to not striking out all the time and just working counts like he did when he first came up, they'll be all right. And you already know what you're going to get out of Rizzo and Bryant. Baez and Russell play great defense and hit the ball decently well. They'll get hot and cold. But those are the biggest keys, I think, for this team.
Do you think they're going to be able to get Happ into the lineup every day?
Yeah, I mean, if he's hitting well, you've got to, because he's going to be your leadoff man.
And who is that eating to, mostly Hayward?
Yeah, most likely, which isn't the biggest deal. What you can do is you can double switch late in the game and get Hayward in for some hit, if you know, whatever you need to do, or whoever else is on the bench, Almora even, you know. Just bring in different guys throughout the rest of the game. There's plenty of space and time to do it.
What's his salary again?
Hayward? A lot. It's like $25 million.
You love when your $25 million man is a fourth outfielder.
I love when you have the money to put a $25 million man at a fourth outfielder and then sign Bryce Harper next season.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see about that.
I cannot wait. But yeah, baseball is almost back, folks. America's pastime. Should be a national holiday, like you said. But we'll live to fight another day. We've got plenty of other stuff to talk about, including the first time we're bringing it back, pod docs, pod doctors. And our patient this week is Odell Beckham. We're going to get to the NBA in just a minute, but I wanted to do this right here.
All right, Brian, here, let's do this. Go over the symptoms you put in to WebMD and see what you thought was the most accurate diagnosis. And then okay. I'll see if I had the same thing.
So the symptoms I put in is that he's irritable.
I agree.
Does not cooperate well with others.
Fair.
He has a poor diet.
Yep.
And has been seen with some drug use. Just a little bit, you know, just a smidge. And the one thing that came up that was perfect for me, that I think perfectly describes what's going on with Odell, is irritable bowel syndrome. I feel like he's got a bad case of IBS. You know, IBS can cause a poor diet because you just feel like shit all the time. And because of that, when you don't feel well and you're not eating well, you get irritable. You don't cooperate well with others. And it has been known to cause stress, which would allow someone the leeway to say, you know what, maybe I should use some sort of drug here to bring myself down and calm myself down. So I'm not a scientist, nor am I a doctor, although I've tried to play both on TV, but I am a connect the dots guy, and all the dots are pointing towards IBS.
IBS, the GOAT excuse to get out of any function
100%.
/ ticket. I've never heard of anyone who actually has IBS or has admitted to it, but I feel like it just makes the rounds is the most used excuse.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, you can't say no to someone who says that.
You'd be a cruel person to say no to that. But for mine, I threw in pretty similar symptoms. Easily irritated, workplace difficulty, poor nutrition, anxiety, and drug abuse. And so a few came up. I'm just going to say that one of them was just seasonal depression and in parentheses, sad, all caps. So I'm just going to go with that. He's just sad because it's winter.
Okay. Depression is not funny. A lot of people suffer from it. That's not what I was laughing at. I was just laughing at the fact that they put sad in parentheses.
He's just sad, guys.
He's just sad. He's got the mopies. It could be a mix of both, honestly. And the way he's acting.
I think he needs to get back down to Miami to get a little bit of the sun, get away from the cold.
Vitamin D does a lot of good for you, let me tell you. Get out on the open water, smell the ocean air. That'll calm the stomach down, really get you back in a place where you can eat again and you're not sad.
Yeah, you're not just stress eating the pizza.
Exactly, exactly. And our last main topic will be the NBA. Markelle Fultz is back.
He's back, and his jumper still looks weird, but it's working now. It's like I guess it's like a car that it's not exactly running correctly, but it'll get you from point A to point B.
It's a hoop.
And Philly fans were going absolutely insane at everything he did. His highlights.
Process.
He had 10 points, 8 assists, and I think 5 or 4 rebounds. Which, honestly. Shout out to Trey Burke, which overshadowed Trey Burke's 42-12 night. Because I forgot Trey Burke was still a productive NBA player.
Yeah, he should have a case for comeback player of the year, but he won't get it.
I mean, I vouch for Beasley every year for comeback player of the year. So
there are a lot of candidates. Lou Williams could easily win comeback player of the year.
Well, but, I mean, for most improved, I think it's going to go Oladipo, but I mean,
yeah, Oladipo as well. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there that have drastically improved their game over the past year. Derrick Rose, even, he's playing basketball. That should be enough to win him the award.
God, I mean, barely playing basketball.
The other day and dunked the ball.
Speaking of Derrick Rose, I've been seeing all over the interwebs that Miami's basketball fans are getting incredibly tired with Thibodeau's stubbornness.
Are they really?
They are really beginning to hate this guy.
Good for them. Welcome to the Timber Bowls.
Like it's kind of sad, but kind of makes me happy at the same time. Where I'm looking at people's comments saying like about the same thing that we talked about, how overplaying starters.
You don't like your starters getting 40 minutes on a cold February evening against the lowly Chicago Bulls or New York Knicks or whoever else may be in town, Orlando Magic.
It's honestly insane how like starkly, like, that's not the right word, how significantly more minutes that his starting unit has played compared to the rest of the league. Someone has to have showed him these numbers at some point, and he's like, nope, Jimmy can play all day. It's fine.
Yeah, you know, the guys, they really feel good out there.
Ice. Like, that's my favorite part about watching Tibbs, is you can actually hear him in from the TV.
His voice carries. I'm convinced that on a cold Minnesota night, you can hear him from like a 10-mile distance.
Travels through that negative 20-degree wind chill.
But just catches the right zephyr in the polar vortex and just swings across the plains, the lakes of Minnesota.
But if the Timberwolves actually miss the playoffs and they're in danger of doing that, they're the 8th seed right now. And I think there are maybe a game and a half out of above the 9th seed, who I believe is the Clippers. There's going to be some very polite, but very frustrated protests in Minnesota about his job.
Dib should get fired there, eh?
Not doing a great job, though.
I think not we great, had a nice
not,
record.
Not bad.
We played pretty good, but we weren't good enough, you know? It was one of those.
The Timberwolves upset up front.
We played in the same division as the Timberwolves, right? I haven't looked at a division in forever, but that's correct, right?
The Bulls?
Oh, no. Never mind. The Bulls played the Timberwolves twice a year, and they saw this every single time they played the Bulls, where the starters would be in the entire time, regardless of what had happened, and they still can't figure this out.
And in fact, they gave him a GM job to pick any player he wants to drive into the ground.
Oh, he chose only his favorites, the ones he had already coached.
The more and more I think about it, the more I think Thibodeau just picked Derrick Rose off the trash heap just to finish the job.
He did, but I think he also picked these guys because he knew they could take it. They've been through it before. They're the only guys conditioned for this.
He's already broke them in. They're not going to contest as much.
Like a new pair of shoes. You just got to wear them around until they're worn out and ready to go.
God, and Derrick Rose was like the dying possum that you hit on the road that he just put a bullet in the middle of his eyes.
Oh, man. No, I know the Timberwolves are not in the Bulls division. I meant they play each other every year.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, that would have been way off.
But yeah, the Timberwolves are in jeopardy of missing the playoffs. They lost to the Grizzlies two nights ago, which is an embarrassing loss.
The Grizzlies lost by 61 the other day.
Yeah, it didn't accomplish any goal for either team because the Grizzlies are actively trying to lose and the Timberwolves are fighting for a playoff spot. The exasperated look on Jimmy's face at the end of that game just told it all.
Oh, man. The poor Timberwolves.
Going back to the Sixers, though, no, not one team wants to see the Sixers in the playoffs if Fultz is going to be a productive player like in his rookie season.
Yeah.
Because the combination of Simmons, Embiid, Fultz, Redick, and Covington is going to be a matchup nightmare for anyone. And even though they're young, and JJ Redick, I think, is the only player on this team with playoff experience, they're going to be a tough out for anyone.
Yeah, it's the dangerous team once they get confident. You know, there's anything that can happen. Joel Embiid is arguably the most confident guy in the NBA, next to Russell Westbrook and James Harden, I would say. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's going to be a scary thing to look at. If Ben Simmons ever gets a jump shot, that would be terrifying to play that team.
Yeah, that's actually one of the big things that people are pointing at that teams will use against the Sixers, is that Simmons, not only is he a bad jump shooter, but he does not shoot jump shots. He's just timid to shoot them. So they can use the Tony Allen method on him in the playoffs on defense and literally just step back into the paint.
right,
when they're playing off the ball on him, and it'll clog the paint for guys like Fultz, who's going to try and drive the baskets.
Could this be the worst jump shooting playoff team in the history of the NBA?
Redick and Covington and Embiid will make up for Simmons' shortfalls.
And Fultz, though. Fultz is a janky, broken jumper.
That's true. So, yeah, well, I mean, it'll be two of the ugliest jump shots I've seen.
I was going to say, it's so crazy that a former number one pick has like one of the worst jump shots and just refuses to use it. But then again, Tony Bennett was a number one pick. So I don't know there's nothing else to say.
Yeah, apparently Tony Bennett's playing well in some EuroLeague somewhere.
Good for
him. I guarantee you he will make it back on an NBA roster at some point in his career.
That's a guarantee here, folks. But that's a great segue because Jello, LiAngelo Ball, has declared for the NBA draft. Promptly puts up 72 points and 11 rebounds against a Chinese developmental league team. I don't know what to think. It's a very laughable thing that he entered the draft because he wasn't even going to play at UCLA. But seeing him put up 72 and 11 is pretty awesome because now the hype train, the big baller hype train, is going to be flying at full speed. As if we didn't know there were no brakes on LaVar Ball's train of mayhem. There are certainly no brakes, and they're hitting top speed.
Yeah, and the first thing I thought of when he declared was just like, so they're just leaving LaMelo in Lithuania by himself? Because you know that LaVar is going to follow LiAngelo for like the draft process.
Yeah, he has to, because he's got to make sure he's not getting screwed out or forced to wear any other brands but his own.
LaMelo's just sitting there in that 1,200 person gym, like, just what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
I'm 16.
Just chucking jumpers left and right.
He definitely got the short end of the stick there, having to play, because you have to be 19 to declare professionally.
18, I think.
Or is it 18 with like a year out of high school, something like that?
18 with a year out of high school.
So LaMelo's got two more years left.
Two more years.
They just left him in Lithuania for two more years.
Yep.
And I mean, I expect LaVar to up the hype train 1,000% because Lonzo didn't need it. Lonzo's a legitimately good player.
Is he going to play in the JBA? He should be playing in the JBL or JBA, whatever it's called, the Junior Basketball Association, which tryouts are starting up.
This could be his long con is just getting LiAngelo, not long con, long business play, is just getting the exposure. He knows he's not going to get drafted. I think he's already said it verbally that he doesn't expect LiAngelo to get drafted. And then once that happens, he'll just get all the press and say, you know, he's bringing his talents to the JBL or JBA, whatever it's called. Isn't JBL a sound system company?
It is, but I thought it was the Junior Basketball League. It might be the Junior Basketball Association, but whatever it is, I think the power move here is to somehow get a scout or a GM to say, oh yeah, we'll take LiAngelo, and then for him to back out right before the draft, pull his name and say, no, I'm going to the JBA. That's how big baller brand wins right there.
I think he's got a few different avenues to get some more exposure for his league, and I think he'll, knowing LaVar, he'll maximize that.
Or just having Jello get drafted and then refuse to sign a contract and then go jump ship for the JBA.
And then have his dad give him a larger contract for the JBA. Yeah.
Just see what he gets offered and then offer him a dollar more. We pay like big ballers here.
Like the minimum contract for the JBA is like 40 grand. And then LiAngelo's getting paid 450K inexplicably.
Oh, man. I'm very excited to see how that flops. But you never know. With LaVar at the helm, it could be a real big thing for a couple weeks.
Hey, you know what? I'm really excited for these pop-up leagues to start because we haven't grown up with leagues that compete.
No.
Professional leagues like the XFL.
Where's the ABA?
Yeah, and the ABA. Like, we never grew up with a league trying to compete with the main competitors.
Right.
So I'm pretty pumped to see how like this works out.
Yeah, it's a different thing for us. We've never been there. I'm excited to hear about it. But that's all the NBA news I had. I don't know about you.
No, I mean, that's it. I mean, the Western Conference playoff race, 6, 7, 8 seeds is really tight still. There's going to be some huge games being played in the next few weeks. But that's the main focus right now.
There we go. We'll move on to our top five. It is good luck charms and superstitions with the Final Four coming around, the NBA playoffs right around the corner, the NHL playoffs, which we didn't talk about because the Blackhawks have been eliminated from the playoffs for the first time in like a decade. Superstitions and good luck charms, things that, you know, come up while you're watching a game in your fandom, different things like that. I'm going to go first real quick. My number five is refusing to move your position in the couch when your team goes on a run. So I don't mean like the spot you're sitting in. I mean the actual physical stance you are in when your team goes on a run. So like if you have one hand behind your head and the other like across your body reaching for something and your team goes on like a quick 6-0 run, you've got to stay that way for the rest of the run until it's over.
Yeah, it's your duty as a fan to stay that way.
Absolutely. Number four. My mom was in, I believe, the Philippines just before during the Cubs playoff run in 2016, and she bought this weird-ass hat for, like, American $1.44 and wore it everywhere and called it her lucky hat, and of course, they ended up winning the World Series, so the lucky hat or lucky whatever object it is that you wear. Number three is your pregame routine. So in college, I had a specific pregame routine for all the Seton Hall games. Not anymore, obviously, because I don't get to watch all the games, but people certainly do have the pregame ritual and routine, especially if you're a player. That's a big thing. Number two is the meal you eat. Always important to make sure your stomach's right on game day. If your stomach's not right, you're screwed. Just ask Odell Beckham. And number one is socks. I cannot tell you how important and imperative socks are to superstition and good luck. If you're wearing the right pair of socks and you get on a nice little run, those things will take you a long way.
I actually had a pair of socks and I erased it and put a new one. So thankfully you said it.
There you go. When I was in grade school, we had a kid on our basketball team that wore the exact same pair of socks for all four championship games we won in our league. And by the time we were in eighth grade, he'd grown from like a size 5 shoe to a 12. So he's like ripping them to stretch them over his feet.
They went from like calf socks to ankle socks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him, though. My number five is when you turn the TV on and you saw your team had been going on a run and it immediately stops and you turn it off again.
Yep. Or switch the channel.
And then the fourth one, or number four, I went a little different direction. I went with superstitions, what like when we played,
yeah,
like as children. A lucky wristband that I used to wear because I was that guy who wore a ton of wristbands.
Did you get like the 3-for pack at what was it, Sports Authority, or what was the place they had?
Galleons?
Lombard.
Galleons.
Yes. Yep. Galleons. R.I.P.
I remember it well. Which is now at Dick's Sporting Goods. But I did. I absolutely did. And I got the headband too. And so number three, a girl who you had a crush on who, when she would show up,
you'd ball out.
And then not talk to her.
Yeah. Hit her up on AIM later.
Yeah. Oh, God. That brings it back. I don't want to look at what my AIM account.
I would love to see profile it.
I still get roasted by my friends who I grew up with that I had the worst AIM profile in the world.
That would be something. Bring them all back and just see what everyone had.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate myself for a long time, but we could do it.
Yeah, you just laugh at yourself. It's young, dumb kids, you know?
I was like making fun of Frank Thomas for some reason.
Some fan you are, huh?
Yeah, I know. Number two, a batting glove, a very specific batting glove.
Okay. I actually didn't wear batting gloves when I played baseball.
Oh, you're a purist?
Yep, never play it. Just grabbed the dirt, rubbed it on my hands, and went to work. Real lunch pal kind of guy.
For our kind of climate, we need the batting gloves for at least like the first month of
playing baseball. It was really tough. It was really tough early season games.
That's some gritty hits if you still like got the stingers and followed through without batting gloves.
People would just try and jam me every time I was up to bat.
Speaking of jamming people, one of my crowning achievements as a pitcher in like Pony League baseball is I broke a kid's bat once.
Jesus Christ. destroyed it.
You know, he was this that douche who used a wooden bat.
Oh, fuck that guy. guy.
And I cracked the shit out of it.
There you go. I'm happy for you. Very proud of you, actually.
And then number one, your free throw routine. Because I would routinely change it up. And then when I found one that I hit like three in a row, maybe I'd stick with that until I had a cold streak and then change it again.
Mine was clean my shoes off, rub my hands on my shorts, dribble the ball four times, spin it twice, and shoot. I still do it to this day.
And you could do that in under 10 seconds?
Yeah. Well, before I got the ball, I'd be rubbing my shoes.
Okay, fair. I had the, for a long time, I stuck with the Rip Hamilton, two dribbles, and then one dribble all the way to the side.
Oh, God. The worst were the kids that would go behind the back.
Oh, well, yeah. To copy Kobe?
Yeah. That was the worst.
Speaking of that, do you remember when Kobe used to blow on his hand, on his fists?
Yeah.
I did that for a short period of time.
Of course.
The more I talk about my basketball career, the more I realize I was that kid.
I mean, you had to be though. That growing up in the suburbs, that's what you did. That was your job.
I was just your run of the mill white kid, white suburban kid who watched a lot of AI and Kobe Bryant.
Exactly. Those are our top five for good luck charms and superstitions. Let us know yours at LMBF Sports, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We'll move on to our stats. I have a bunch, but I'll let you go first.
Okay, so I have two. First one is that this year's Final Four will feature zero one-and-done players.
Wow. So much for the one-and-done being the way of basketball, huh? Two or none.
Yeah, exactly. You're a fan of at least 2 years?
I mean, I don't care about one and done. I just think Marvin Bagley should not have to go to college. DeAndre Ayton should not have to go to college. These guys should be able to go pro right out of high school if they want to. I think if they're going to stay, they should stay 2 years. I don't like restricting a guy for however long. I understand it in the NFL because you can't have an 18-year-old kid going up against like a grown 28-year-old or 30-year-old and just get destroyed. For the NBA, though, it's a completely different story. You know, you've got all these kids that are huge now. So I just think they should bring back the ability to let kids go to the NBA out of high school.
Yeah, and I also think they should add in that if you declare out of high school and you don't get drafted, you should be able to still be able to make it to a college team.
I think that adds too much. They'd have to move up the NBA draft or something because
yeah,
it would fuck up recruiting so bad. They might have to, maybe they'd have to reclassify to the next year, something like that. But
The JBL.
Go for a year in the JBL and then come to the NCAA, although that ruins their amateur status.
amateur status. NCAA. And my second one here is Dwight Howard at a 30-30 game last week. He joined Moses Malone, Will Chamberlain, Elvin Hayes, Jerry Lucas, Walt Bellamy, and our favorite Sven Nader as the only to have a 30-30 game. I looked up Sven Nader's like Wikipedia. This man just went on completely under the radar as just an absolute basketball legend. He backed up Bill Walton at UCLA and then went on to back up Kareem for the Lakers.
What a guy. Yeah, I mean, that's two literal and figuratively large shadows to be cast under.
And most interesting part now, he's an assistant manager at a Costco now.
Good for him. I hear Costco is a great place to work.
Yeah, I've also been told. Like, can you imagine talking to a 7 foot tall man? Just talk about buying an over too many bottles of wine.
Yeah, can I get 27? Can I get a crate of wine, please?
Hey, you know could you carry like six cases of those 48 beer packs out to my car for me?
Gonna get ripped on Kirkland Light tonight. I've got a bunch of stats here. A lot of them are Loyola based, and a lot of them I just kind of screenshot as I went along this weekend. So if they're similar ones, that's why. Loyola has more NCAA tournament wins in 8 days than Michigan State has in 3 years.
Jesus.
Loyola has more NCAA tournament wins in the last 2 weeks than these programs have over the past 5 years. Indiana, Ohio State, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Texas, Memphis, and Georgetown.
It hurts me to see Georgetown on that list.
Fuck Georgetown. I'm happy they're there. We have two Catholic schools in the Final Four for the first time since 1985 when there were three, and just the fifth time ever, 1955, 1952, 1943, and 1985 were the other 4 years, and it's Easter weekend, no less.
God works in mysterious ways, Brian.
We are right. You're damn right. This one I mentioned beforehand, but Villanova hasn't lost back-to-back games since the 2013 season.
That's like the Jordan stat. They didn't lose like three games in a row for like 8 years straight.
Yeah. And the last stat I have is that Loyola, by win percentage, is currently the best team in the history of college basketball in the NCAA tournament. They are 13-4, giving them a 765 win percentage, which is 0.01% percentage points better than Duke, who is 111-36, and then North Carolina is 0.729 at 124-46.
I'm going to love having Loyola as like the trivia answer to so many questions in 20 years.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. People will be, oh, yeah, I remember that, just like people are probably doing 20 years from 1963 when they last won.
Sister Jean's still alive in 20 years.
Yep. God willing. And then we'll move on to our tweets. I've got one, and it's from Eamon Brennan, who's an NCAA basketball writer. But yesterday, Clay Young and Sam Sutcliffe said that when they win at Fortnite before a Kansas game, Kansas wins too. Tonight, sources close to the program confirmed that Young and Cuncliffe both won a squad game last night. So when Kansas wins, when their bench players win Fortnite, they also win NCAA tournament games.
What a white person contribution to a basketball game to win in a video game.
Absolutely.
And have that be their assurance that they'll win.
They are very, like, I can only imagine seeing like Devontae Graham and Doke Izebuike right behind them, like cheering them on with Mekhi Luke there trying to figure out what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, you've done all you want. You've done all you could here. You won.
We're gonna win. Thank you for your service, guys. Now let's go play.
All right, I got one. This is from Tony Grossi. I don't know who. Let's see. Works for ESPN Cleveland.
Oh, of course.
Hugh Jackson on Baker Mayfield. I feel like he's a Pied Piper of Oklahoma football. When he walked into the building, he made the sound. Kind of went hee-hee, and all the players in the building started going hee-hee, and here we go. Most unbelievable thing I've ever seen.
I don't know what that means. I really don't know what any of that means.
Hugh Jackson doesn't know what this means.
Oh, God. Is Hugh Jackson trying too hard to be a football guy?
All the replies to this tweet are fantastic. They're, Jesus, we're going to screw this up, aren't we? And then the next one, there is no way that a real live human being said this.
Oh, man. This is a tough look if you're Cleveland, because you're having a pretty good offseason right now, and it's all about to get fucked up on draft day. When they take Johnny Manziel and you can't even take him this year, that's when it's going to happen. And I'll be like, oh, you see this quarterback at Texas A&M's Pro Day? He looked pretty good out there. Like, yeah, we drafted him 4 years ago.
God, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Browns screw this up on draft day.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun.
And who ironically have a movie about them called Draft Day. So
yeah, where they don't screw up, which is stunning.
I still need to see that movie.
It's terrible.
I've heard it's like so bad it's good.
It's enjoyably terrible, yeah.
And that's one of my favorite kind of movies.
As we close up every week, we'll look forward to the weekend. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm going to go against or something outside of the NCAA Final Four games. As I mentioned earlier, there are games for the last spots in the West playoff. Oklahoma City's playing the Pelicans. Utah's playing Minnesota. The Clippers are playing Portland. And Denver is playing Oklahoma City again. So these are all within between Friday and Sunday. And will be really significant in deciding who makes the playoffs and who's like between the sixth.
The
seeding between sixth and tenth seeds for the Western Conference playoffs. So some good basketball is going to be played this weekend.
There we go. And I'm looking forward to Easter.
Jesus.
Yeah, no. What I'm actually looking forward to is the Final Four. Obviously, it's the best. I said the fourth best day of the college basketball season, I think. It's one of the best. And when you got a story like Loyola, it makes everything way better. Easy way you can tell if someone's from Illinois is if they call them Loyola instead of Loyola. Easy one just for anyone out there not from the Chicagoland area. But yep. That's what I'm looking forward to. Go Ramblers, go Cats. As always, you can check us out, letmebefrankblog.com. Find us on iTunes, Let Me Be Frank Podcast, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, at LMBF Sports. Share your thoughts, leave a review, send your friends our way, and we will see you next week.
Yeah, that pronunciation is a Brad special, that Loyola.
Loyola.
There might as well not be a Y in that.
Or an O.
All right, see you guys. Couldn't